All council members are present.
Thank you. Toby?
Okay, good afternoon. We're back here this afternoon to talk about the comprehensive fee schedule. So this is an annual exercise of the city council. This is probably the easiest it's ever been for me and you to look at our fee schedule. So typically, the fee schedule, which is, what, almost 100 pages or more? I can't remember how thick that publication is. But usually, we'll propose a number of changes. This year, we're not proposing any changes to building, zoning, planning. So in the past, if we've proposed a 1% or 2% increase to those rates, it would change, you know, dozens and dozens of pages of the comprehensive fee schedule. We're not looking at changing hardly any fees this year, which, again, we're doing the exercise of looking at them, and each department looked at all of their fees to see if there was anything missing from the fee schedule or anything that needed to be added. And so what you'll see here, and what Robert and Mark and I will talk about, are just a few pretty simple modifications to the fee schedule. And so the first one that Debbie and I had talked about is just on the, in your packet, which is on page, shows page 41 of the comprehensive fee schedule. It just says budget, $25. That's just if someone asks for a hard copy, printed copy of the budget. We had annual adopted budget, but we're finding some people who ask for a budget, tentative budget or preliminary budget, the things we give you, which are all online for anybody to use on their own personal device. But if someone wants to come in and get any one of those, it's quite a copying job for the clerk's office to do. And we believe that just removing that, anytime anybody asks for a hard copy of the budget, they should pay for it. Now, we do provide a copy in the back of the room when we do budget meetings. I think you also put one at City Hall, is that correct?
Yes, there's also one downstairs for public view, and we keep it down there all the time. And then when we actually have the meetings, I'll bring it here and we'll put it in the back as well.
But I think the office, the clerk's office in the past, you know, sort of as a courtesy would, you know, make some copies for people, and that's just a little too much. And if a number of people come in and start asking for hard copies of budget books, that can get very expensive and very time consuming. And so we believe that if you're going to come in and ask for any budget, you should have to, you know, pay that. And again, we make it very convenient for people to get a free copy at the City Hall, a free copy in here, and it's always online. The same thing that you get is online. Any questions or concerns about that? Okay, so the next page, which would show up as page 35 of the fee schedule, the only change there is the Gary Keith Park Pavilion. And so we have all of our fees, and these are for really private rentals. As you know, we don't charge for our nonprofits. For the 15 years that I've been the city manager, not one nonprofit has ever paid to rent our parks ever. So if Rotary or Kiwanis or any group wants to use the Gary Keith Park Pavilion, they would be able to seek the waiver of all the fees. So this would be if someone wants to rent it and have a private event or event where they have a jazz festival and charge $25 to come into their event, whatever they may seek to do to reserve the pavilion for private use. So we looked at that facility, and that was the recommendation of Dave Heath for the pavilion. Again, private, no nonprofit will pay anything, as they don't for any of our utilizations. Any questions or concerns on that?
Toby, I've got one quick question. When you do rent out the park, say Gary Keith Park, are there signs posted around that's for private use only to keep the public from coming into the park?
It's very rare that we do that, but I'll give you a couple examples. We might have a company that rents a portion of a park for a company picnic. It's kind of their responsibility to keep their area cordoned off with some sort of signification that this is a private party. The recent football tournament that was here, they actually put fence, private fence up around the entirety of the football field that they rented. We've seen that from other promoters when they're having events. You'll see that this Thursday, Friday, Saturday for the Tournament of Champions, which is a city school district event, you won't be able to get in without paying, and everything is cordoned off, if you will. So let's just say you wanted to rent Gary Keith Park out and have a jazz festival. You would have to, as the promoter, figure out how you're doing that. It might be by wristbands that you're kind of trusting people, or you might actually put up a fence. Not, the city doesn't take responsibility for that. We let the promoters or the event organizers take care of that.
Thank you very much.
City Manager, the pavilion is the new amphitheater by the school?
Correct.
And if I rented it for a whole day to have my own concert, it'd be $1,000?
Correct.
It's kind of light, ain't it?
it's a tough one to answer. We believe that almost all the rentals will be by nonprofits for charity events, Corn Fest type events. But yeah, I mean, think of the event you may have there. Typically, you know, from what we've seen, that would be a fair price. Now, if we see a lot of utilization and people are like, oh, that's too cheap, we might want to come back and reconsider that. And that's probably a good thing for us looking at this fee schedule every year, because we can identify things that maybe are too much or too little. And next year at this time, we can go over all these fees again.
Yeah. Is there a requirement for what kind of an event could go there? Like, you have to clear that with Dave Heath and...
Well, we do. Yeah, great question. Yeah. We do have an application and, you know, very good legal advice that there's very little that can't go there. So just think of anything in the world that you might not want to go there. It would be very hard for us to deny their application.
Okay. Thank you.
But if there's a threat of violence or otherwise, we may be able to, but just because we don't agree with what their message may be, it's very difficult to deny an application.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor. Toby, what does that $1,000 get them? Just the rental? Is there some cleanup requirements, deposits for damage, those kind of things?
Yeah, so this is your main rental fee. Okay. And then on top of that, in our applications, we have all kinds of miscellaneous things like cleaning deposits and other things. Not a cost. Basically, you get your money back if you do those things. And of course, you can pay extra to us if there's things you need from us. So if a private promoter comes in and says, can we hire your staff? And of course, we charge on top of that so that we're, you know, in essence, not losing any money, and we're able to work with the promoter. Now, typically, again, if it's Kiwanis or Rotarians or others, it's an ancillary service where we're all working together and we'll provide those services. But this is just straight up the rental fee, kind of like we talked about with the rentals up at Optimum. There are add-ons if people want to add on to those things, like up there, the bartender. Here, it's very few. Mostly at our, like, Rotary Park, if you're renting the ball fields, like, you might have to actually pay for maintenance and other things. Like, if you want us in between all the softball games to come in and drag the field and chalk the lines, we charge for that because it's a private event.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that was still the same way and would be with this.
It is. And okay. So anytime there's an event like this, we always have them sit down with Dave Heath and go over all the parameters of their event. So if you're Larry Topping and you're doing a big motorcycle event at Community, there certainly are a whole bunch of things that we have to work out, right? And so is he renting it as a private promoter? Is Rotary renting it? And then how does the alcohol work? And how do all these vendors work? And so there's so many things that we have to go through. So we always start every event with, you got to meet with Dave Heath so that we can figure all that out. There could be one application where simply you come in and say, I'm just having a couple musicians on stage. That's all I need. It could be a fairly easy agreement where it's $1,000.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that this was the same as the rest of
it is.
The events that, you know, people yeah. are asked to do.
Yeah, there's it's very difficult for us to delineate every single potential charge that's out there. There's so many miscellaneous things that we do, but we also want to tell the public in general what are the fees.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, next line down, Mr. Clark is going to talk to you about lost water fees, which then is on page 46.
Thank you, Mr. Cotter. Mr. Mayor, Council, as I know all of you are aware, we've had a number of our water and sewer lines broken here in the community. And this specifically is for when somebody drills through or a contractor hits one of our water lines. We lose, on average, every single year, about 35 million, that's million with an M, gallons of water a year is wasted through line breaks. So what this charge, now all of those aren't from a contractor hitting our line. I don't mean to imply that. But our contractors do hit a number of our lines, and we lose a lot of water through those breaks. What this fee would do is reimburse us for that lost water. Now, you might say, well, why would we want them? Well, we have pumps, we have wells, we have all this equipment that is pumping that water through those lines. So if it's getting lost, that means we're not getting revenue from one of our end customers for that water that we're putting through those lines. So this is a way to reimburse us for that lost water.
Mayor D'Amico, this is just something the city may want to be prepared for. A couple members of the RC community have inquired about renting the track for a weekend. So it just might be a request that is coming up in the near term future.
Yeah, so that's a good question. Under the park fees, there's probably a number of areas like that where we don't have a rental rate. So for example, like the model RC track for airplanes or the RC tracks in general, there's probably areas like that that we probably never envisioned that we would want private rentals for. But that's a conversation that we're certainly, you know, maybe are new things that we need to consider in the future, especially if an application comes in. We can always come back and amend the fee schedule. The way the state law works is we have to give 60 days notice on our website, and then we can bring it to council. That's what we did most recently on those optimum fees. We posted them, brought it to you, then we can implement it. Same thing would be in that case if there's other new fees that we hadn't envisioned. So good point, and if we ever get there, a lot of times on things like that, we can just work with the community and it doesn't end up being a big deal. But if we're seeing a private group or a nonprofit group wanting to do certain things and having it as a, you know, their closed event, you know, that's where the rental comes in.
Mr. Mayor, thank you. Mark, I don't think that I'm not supportive of this, because quite frankly I am, but I have a couple of questions. First off, I know that if you're gonna drill or you're gonna bore, you're gonna do any of those things, you're required to go have things staked and all of that. And I know in an instance where someone either neglected to do that and cut one of our lines, obviously that's their fault. If they just had it marked and then went ahead and cut through it again, mm-hmm. their fault. If we had someone that actually called and asked to have an area marked, and for some reason the line was somewhere where it wasn't marked, how would we go about handling that?
We wouldn't be charging those individuals for that, because if we mismarked the line, that's on us, that's not on the contractor.
And I know, granted, we've only had this water system a limited amount of time. Do you feel like there's a lot of that out there, or would we expect to have lines that are in places that we really don't know are there?
No, we really haven't had that many issues. We've had a couple where we've had some mismarked lines. Some of the maps that we received from EPCOR were not the highest quality, shall we say. And so, you know, we're marking based on the maps in a lot of instances. But our guys have been doing this long enough now. They know where those discrepancies are, most of them. Obviously, we haven't done the whole city, but we know where most of the discrepancies are. And our line locator, we have one individual that does all of our line locates. So he's pretty knowledgeable about where all of our facilities are located.
Okay. Yeah, I just, I just think that's another advertisement for those folks to call in and get the lines marked before they start cutting into our streets and sidewalks.
Well, and legally they're required to do that.
We all know that laws are there because people break them or they wouldn't have to have them. So I understand that. I'm just saying this to me seems like another, reason for them to spend a little bit of time. So thank you.
I support this. I just have a question on, now obviously wherever the break is, there's not going to be a meter there to show the water loss. So do we have to go to the specific tank that supplies that and figure out what the water loss would have been?
No, because we know what the pressures are in our lines, and we know the diameter of that line, and so we know the time that it's broken. So we can actually calculate out pretty closely what amount of water has gone through that break.
Okay. Any other questions?
Mayor D'Amico, so as I mentioned, there's 72 pages in our comprehensive fee schedule. And again, to change something, we have to post it and put that notice out there. But to eliminate things, we don't need to do that. We could do that now. We could do that in May, June, when we bring it back. So typically what we do is have that workshop now, so we meet all of our publication requirements and meet state law. One of the things that I'm going to recommend, and you can tell me now if you think it's a good idea or a bad idea, but we have on page 7 of our book right now of our fee schedule, we actually allow people to rent out this room. There was a lot of controversy that former Mayor Hakem and I had about that. We kind of talked about it at the time that there really wasn't anywhere else to rent out. We were at the time really desperate for meeting space, and we were using this room for all kinds of things. And it became a little controversial, so we added the fee schedule reservation, hourly rate after 5 for this particular council chambers. So we have the council chambers and the council chambers conference room, and then we also have a fee for whether it's one or the other or both. So anyway, when we looked at that back in the day, we're like, well, we need to have a fee. And I think some members of council were not wanting it at all to be used for rentals. Well, now you've seen what we've been able to do with the Optimum Center, what we now have over at our new senior center. We're even going to have a community meeting room down at our new animal shelter. This room probably doesn't need to be available for public rental anymore, and it can just be reserved for city utilization. And so I bring that up because we can delete this from the fee schedule.
I'm pretty sure everybody would agree with that. Does anybody not agree with that? There you go.
So we will be coming forward when the time is right, once we figure out the other rental rates for if there's going to be utilization over at the new senior center. Right now, we're envisioning more of community groups that'll be falling under our purview, just like up at recreation. So think of a program or a public thing that you might offer, right? So maybe your favorite topic, music, sports, whatever that program is, and if you're gonna have it open to the public and you're gonna teach it, you're gonna create a public group, if it's open to the public, it's probably gonna fall under the purview of Kim, and there's not going to be a rental rate. It's not a private closed use of the facility. Same with Up at Optimum. As long as it's falling under a rec program, there's probably not gonna be a rental rate for that. Now, if it's a private closed group, we talked about the fees already for Up at Optimum, we haven't done that yet over at the senior center. So that will be forthcoming once we determine how that could potentially work and what the demand is if there are a bunch of people who want to have private clubs, private groups meeting over at the senior center.
I think we have enough space at other places. I'd kind of like to maybe leave the senior center just to the seniors and have that open also for rentals. Does everybody agree on that?
I agree.
So. Easy enough then. Okay, so we will we'll be in touch. As I mentioned, if you look over the full 72 pages of the comprehensive fee schedule, you'll notice that we're not changing the vast majority of them. And, you know, it was many, many years ago when the council said, make sure you do a thorough review of your fees every year because you don't want to have big increases down the road. Small incremental increases are a lot easier for the public than big increases. So we have looked at them and we believe that our fees, especially planning, zoning, development, are adequate, fair, are covering our costs and meet the needs of the city. And next year we'll look at all of them again. And if a recommendation of an increase is needed, we'll certainly bring that forward.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Toby, will this fee schedule, is it posted on the city website so anybody can access it at any time?
Correct, yeah. If you go to Mr. Drexler's finance page on the website under city fees, it's the first document that pops up. It's the city's annual comprehensive fee schedule. You'll find it right there on the finance page.
Thank you very much.
And Mayor, if you don't mind, I didn't ask Mr. Drexler, our finance director, if he had anything that I forgot or needed to mention.
Not really. The one thing I did want to point out on the budget is on the city's website under the finance page, there is a PDF version, which is the exact same as the printed out hard copy. There is also like an interactive version of it. So if you don't want to look at the whole 300 pages or whatever, and you just want to look at the police budget or public works, you can just drill right in just in a few clicks and see exactly what you're looking for. That was all I wanted to add.
Anyone else have any questions, comments? Is that it?
Thank you.
All right, that concludes our workshop. We'll see you at 5:30 for our regular scheduled meeting. Thank you.